Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to the familiar story of Christmas in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to be reading this morning from the King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 2, let's read the first 20 verses. Read and ponder anew. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far we read this very familiar Christmas story. And we want to visit this again, this whole section, this whole story, in light of the entire Word of God. And I want this morning, if we could do this, to consider especially the meaning of Christmas. Lots of people nowadays think they're finding something more to Christmas than commercialization and the getting and giving of gifts and so on. And they go a certain way to getting at the soul, the heart and soul of Christmas. But we want to dig deeper, and even to go not within to find the meaning of Christmas on the earth, but we want to go to the Word of God and find what it means to heaven and for heaven, and that we can be heavenly minded here. You see, we're concerned with meaning always as Christians, not just what is, not only, but what things mean. And as we endeavor at this in this brief time, and I'm not going to be overly theological and deep and broad and high and profound and so on, we come away with our heads spinning only. But we do want to consider something more than what Christmas means maybe for me or what it means for you. What it means for Joseph and Mary, what it meant then, what it means for Christians, but maybe what it means also for Muslims. We want to consider what it really means, Christmas, in itself and in all of its significance. We want to do this as a congregation beloved of God, greatly beloved of God. We're given to see that there's more to life than meaninglessness, a relative meaning. or it means this for you and it means that for you and so on. Or we can take parts of Christmas and see that that means something, but not the other parts of which the Apostle Paul expounds and so on. I want to consider the meaning. We call it the reason for the season, for all time, for all peoples, even for us men and our salvation. So that's what Christmas is all about. That's the theme of my sermon. The 10 things that make Christmas most meaningful. 10. Sounds like a long haul here. No. It's just that we have so much to speak of. And believe me, there's going to be more than 10, but just 10 this morning. What's Christmas all about? Ever think of that? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have the answer ready at your tongue, ready in your mind. What is Christmas all about? We just read it. Luke chapter 2. What a great and glorious thing we find in the Word of God. But now the first thing I do want to say to you, the first thing of all the things when we're going to be searching for meaning is that Christmas is reality. Christmas is reality. It's truth. Truth come down, truth of heaven, truth of the ground, truth of everything in between, the birds that fly, the things under the earth, of things visible and invisible. Christmas is reality, hitting us in the face and there to behold in Bethlehem's babe. You see, it's because it's the Word of God that it's reality. Note Luke saying, it came to pass in those days. That's reality. This is the Word of God. It really did come to pass in those days, just like God said it came to pass and says it comes to pass in the Bible. It really was the fact that God sent His world into sent His Son into this world, into time, into space. This isn't mythology and a cute and cuddly babe and a nice story about something that maybe warms our hearts. No, the Bible is not fiction. It's not maybe. It's not insignificant because it's just somebody's take on certain things or somebody's hopes and dreams and another inoculation of the religious drug. The Bible's not fiction. It's not historical fiction. It's not hysterical fiction. It's nonfiction. That is, it's true. And not just any nonfiction, any true thing. This is the truth of God. It is true. It is absolute truth. It is infallible truth. That's the meaning and significance of Christmas. It is truth. Come down with us and for us to see as the revelation of God. You see, it's truth in a special way, being that it's in the Bible here, and you won't find it anywhere else except in the Bible. No earthly tales and nothing out of Hollywood can match it. Because it's in the Bible, it's the truth of all that the Bible is. For when God speaks and reveals truth and significance and meaning, is one thing to say, and it's all about what He said on Christmas Day long ago. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is spoken there. Jesus Christ, who's God with us, this is what Christmas is all about. And all of the sermons and the prophecies and the miracles of the Bible are all about Him. And indeed, the Old Testament prophets searched their own writings to find of Jesus, His sufferings and His glories. This is the Word, the truth, the significance of significances, the meaning of time and of space and of our existence for all human ears to hear. You ask me, what's Christmas all about? What is the truth of Christmas? It's the truth as it is in Jesus. He's the real revelation of God, truth on the ground. But then secondly, we hasten to say, this is what Christmas is all about too. It's a divine thing. The birth of Jesus was and is a divine thing. Let's not miss that. We read here of many human things going on, of Caesar and his decree. Caesar is the Roman emperor. He's the king. He's the king of that part of terra firma, that Roman Empire. And according to the decree, there's this taxing and things going on, but we know better than to stop at Caesar, to stop looking above and to Rome and to glorifying kings of the earth. Who's in control, children? Who's over all things? God is. And so according to God's decree, there's Caesar's decree. And Caesar's reign, however wicked it is, but God working all things according to his decree and according to his word. This, you see, this birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the promises that God ever said among human beings. The very first promise in the garden, the other promises that were made to Noah and to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob and all the sons of Israel come to pass right now. You can just hear Isaiah speaking, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." That's what Christmas is all about. "For unto us a child is born," Isaiah goes on, "unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name, it will be called Jesus, yes, but wonderful too, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," and and on we could go to speak of Malachi's prophesying of the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings, and of Micah's speaking and extolling Bethlehem, who's little among the thousands, but from whom would come forth the one whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. That's Jesus. So this is according to God, his decree, his sovereignty, his word, but more. There's more of God in Bethlehem. And the real meaning of Christmas is this, even, that God visited this earth long time ago. God was in a manger. Isn't that amazing? But that's what Christmas is all about. The eternal Son, Jesus, God in the manger, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He wasn't stealing the glory of God by claiming divinity. No, he is God. But the same one took upon himself the form of a servant, became in the and was made in the likeness of men, God with us. And the Bible extols that cover to cover, especially in the New Testament. There's God here with us. Oh, if humanity would only see that, there's more than a cuddly babe. This is God in the place called the human house, the human world, the human universe. The manger is the revelation of the living God, the person of the Son of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, the wisdom of God. It's all there. And when Bethlehem is revealed to us in the Bible, and you can imagine what it was on that wonderful night that he was born, the whole universe lit up. It was a light show, as it were. There is God in the place, and behold, we're not consumed. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us in Jesus. That's the second thing. But then the third thing that makes Christmas so significant is a very insignificant appearance to things. It's all very human and very ordinary, is the Christmas story. We read about it. There, Jesus is born, God with us, among the taxes and among those being taxed. There, Jesus is born of Mary, though, and we're not told here that it's the virgin conception and birth and so on, but this is what it looks like here unto everybody. It's a normal human conception and birth. There's Jesus, a boy. This has happened countless times before. Why should we get so excited about it? Jesus is a boy, a little baby boy. And I'm not sure that I believe the hymn that says, "This boy is one no crying he makes." I think he was a normal boy with normal needs and hopes and fears and all of these human things of a human soul in a human body now among us men and like us in everything except sin. Well, Very ordinary there. And we might even say bland, ordinary Mary, ordinary Joseph, no great account even among men and of Jews. And we would even say mean, this birth. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's no room for him in the inn. There's no crown of glory on him. And there's nothing that would identify him to the naked eye as the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords that he is. Oh, Jesus is here. And he has no gold yet. There's no gifts from the wise men to flash at yon inn and so that they can assert themselves as royalty and of having a right place in inns of men and hearts of men. He's just born, just so human. And I wonder if the significance, though, of this ordinary human thing is simply that this, and profoundly this, God cares for humans. God cares for humans in a special way. That's why he took on human flesh. Humans as creatures of God. And I wonder if Christmas is all about God declaring his will and becoming soul, flesh, and blood human to stop, to say something, to put a stop to the dehumanization of humans, the corporate dehumanization, the terrorist beheading and bombing, the bullying of humans of one another, the tyrannical dehumanization of humans. Christ comes and God is saying, the people that I once made in the image of God are the people now I will care for. And so I send my son, human, very man, very God, very man. So I rebuke this to all who would abort in the womb. To all who refuse to see children as blessings of God. To the whole human race bent on killing one another and climbing to the top, so many lions and tigers and bears. That's what Christmas is all about. But more. I quickly go on for more, because many would stop right here and they say God here is maybe God or whatever. The Christian religion is celebrating man. And we ought to too. We ought to celebrate the human spirit, and that's what Christmas is all about. Well, Jesus came, and it's real, and he's God and he's man. And all of this is so that he will be revealed as Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us to save humanity. Because you see, humanity doesn't just need another human on this earth to exemplify what humanity is inherently and ought to be, and so that if we just follow this example, we'd get it right and there'd be peace on earth and goodwill to men among men and by stories like this and other stories of goodwill. No, humanity is fallen, and Jesus is Jesus, God with us because of the fallenness of human nature, and he comes here to save fallen human beings. And really, every one of us and all of us together in this corporation called humanity in Adam is dehumanized by the very fact that we are born and we are sinful. Oh, it's terrible. It's that bad. And this is what Christians celebrate here, this Jesus who's born to save sinners from their sin and from all of their insignificance and their rebellion. You see, the uniqueness about Jesus' birth is that he's born. But of all of the humans that are born in this earth, Jesus is born not just and so he will die. It happens to all of us. It's as certain as taxes and anything else. Jesus is born so that he will die, choosing to die for sinners. That's the difference. Adam chooses to die in sin. Jesus chooses to die to save us from sin, and he's not going to die from himself. Remember, as we heard the prophet Daniel speak in Daniel's prophecy, chapter 9, he's cut off. And Isaiah is the ground for that truth. He's cut off from the land of the living, the sinless one in the place of sinners bearing the wrath of God. Jesus is born, and it's about salvation, not just from a bad human spirit to a good human spirit, but from sin unto God, we must be brought. And that's what Christmas is all about. And glory to God in the highest that he's showing he will accomplish this salvation he's ordained in Jesus the babe. The other thing that Christmas is all about is mercy, of course. It's a merciful thing. How needed. Sinners, God has to come down. You see, this is not here. This is not here. This is the opposite here of Babel and the attempts of human beings from the very beginnings of society to climb up and to make a name for themselves. It's not here what the devil tempted Eve and then Adam about. You shall be as gods if you just make the right choices and so on your own, independent of God. Not about man coming up. The apostle would echo this very truth of which I speak. It's not of us to climb up, but God comes down. That's what Christmas is all about. And he doesn't come down, and lo, there's people who are just a little bit distorted in their desires. No, he comes, and the desire of all nations is not desired. And I believe this is the significance of this, and preachers of old have commented on this again and again. The significance of there being no room in the inn is that there's no room anywhere in humanity and human hearts for the Son of God. There's not, you see, only an ignoring of Jesus at this time. There's the constant rebellion of anything that God has to say. The shutting of the ears. And perhaps with some of us even today, the shutting of the ears to what God will say. But this is the terrible thing. But mercy is here to have its way. There's no room for Jesus in the Jewish inn. There's no room in that inn that represents the inn of the leadership of the day, which would crucify Jesus. There's no room for Jesus as a savior from sin, for people who claim to be self-righteous and self-made human beings and maybe erring a little bit, maybe needing Jesus a little bit. No, Jesus came because we need a lot of him, all of him, and him to die that we might live and not on our own. Comfort he brings, there's no room in our comfort inns. Holiness he commands, there's no room for us or for him in our holiday inns. And I could go on and on with the little cute jokes, but there's no room for Jesus in Harvard inns, in Yale inns, in any church, in fact, where there's a kind of Jesus, but they have no room for his theology, no room for his commandments, no room to press his claims, no room for his miracles. No. Christmas is all about the need for God completely to be merciful, because we're completely at sea, not only, but completely and horribly depraved and not wanting God. Christmas is what mercy is all about. And then my sixth point, the sixth reason why Christmas is so meaningful and what it's all about is because of the presence of Christmas. Christmas comes and there's the presence of God, children, God with us, and then all the presence. And I mean by that all the blessings that are in him. And here's where I could go on and on and on. There's so many presents under his tree, the cross. Understand that, how rich we are? It's so easy to miss this, isn't it? Oh, we gather around trees, or if we don't like them, we gather around the hearth or whatever. And there's gifts and there's giving, and yeah, it can overwhelm you sometimes, and we feel guilty. We try to make up for 364 days of neglect of the children. We give gifts instead. We fill their stockings, we fill their faces, and the noise of all the techno-gizmo things. Christmas is all about the priceless gifts. Does anybody realize anymore that the gifts of Christmas are not to be bought? They're real gifts. They're not to be bought at the grocery store, drive up to Target. It's not about clicking into Amazon.com or maybe even, as some imagine, heaven.com. Christmas is heaven and heaven's gifts. Oh, teach your children that, mothers and fathers. Not from the North Pole do they come, but from heaven in the highest. Peace with God, the angels say. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. A peace that finds its way, and not simply among nations and their treaties. Of course not. This is about peace with God through the reconciling blood of the Savior. This is about true peace with one another. And where there were people like ships in the night passing together, there's people who want to congregate because there's only one place to go for Christmas, and that's to Jesus, and that's to his that cattle stall. And when you go there together, you're liable to bump into people, aren't you? Because they're going there. And then when you start fighting and jostling over who gets a seat, you realize now how stupid, how foolish, how idiotic this is. Jesus is our peace. And we come together, and there we are. And Jesus is the center of our adoration. Peace with God and one another, life with God, one of those blessings, of course. God so loved that whoever believes might have life through faith in him. Then there's liberty. We sing, he's born thy people to deliver, born to set us free. Yes, there it is. There's the champion of our deliverance from sin and evil and ugliness. And there, you want to see happiness here personified. You want to see, you want to enjoy what joy is all about and who God is all about, to know joy in the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, joy. So that as with gladness, men of old, we are those who are among the untold who are actually happy now. In the midst of all of the nastiness of life, there's a joy because he's born. You have that joy? You see, this is a joy for then, for now, for sinners then, for sinners now, for all kinds of people, shepherds, angels, Mary and Joseph, wise men. For happiness in the truth and Holy Ghost of God. Countless the blessings, we could speak of families too, couldn't we? Because covenant mercies are being fulfilled here. Jesus comes and bids the little children come to see him, the child of children, the man of the men they will become, the Savior of the sinners they need. So, Jesus of our families we celebrate. Isn't that a great thing? Great thing to worship together. Jesus of the church we celebrate, and of the means of the dispensing of grace every Lord's day. And as we hear the echo of that in the midst of the week, the church is the great gift of God in the earth to be the champion of the truth of Bethlehem and of God incarnate in her creeds, to speak the truth of the reality of the Word of God. That's what we're here for. Heralds of the news, and going and telling it on the mountains and over the hills and everywhere. Don't you know Jesus Christ is born? And calling all men to believe. And we go into all the world because the seventh thing about this wonderful birth is that it's universal. And I mean by this, Jesus is born as a God and Savior for the nations. For the nations, and this is what is taught by the angels, that there is this child of the nations. And we need to remember that, and the Jews did. He's not just for one sectarian group. He's not just for one federation of churches or one local church. He's not just for one country. He's for all peoples of every nation, tribe, and tongue. All kinds of sinners. Red, yellow, black, brown, and white sinners, LGBT, and A to Z sinners, Jesus comes for. But then exclusive he is, and this is what we need to remember. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus is born, and we don't need another birth. And when he dies, we don't need another crucifixion or anything to add to it. He's born, and here it is. I think that in this world where people don't understand what meaning is, what the God of meaning is, they're always going for something. When Paul came to the Athenians, remember that? Here's what they were delighting in. In Plato, in Socrates, in this or that philosophy. No, you know what? They delighted in one after the other. And that's what Christmas is all about in these United States. One thing after another. One thing that has a semblance of truth that gets me by this year, or that helps you. But not just one thing. Well, Christmas is all about one thing. One holy thing. One God. One Savior. One name now given among the sons of men whereby we must be saved. One God to believe in, to repent before, to worship, and to bring your offerings to. Just one, young people. May that pierce your heads and transform your minds and go right into your soul. Just one God. Said in so many different ways, from so many different pulpits, in so many different lands, in so many different centuries, but one. One gospel. One good news. This is what Christmas is all about. Only one, but gloriously one. And gloriously one for his people. Not for vague humanity in general, but you see, God has a plan here. And as sure as his decree overrides Caesar's to bring this to pass, his decree of eternal election is being fulfilled here. Jesus is born for all of the ones that God would give has given to him and for whom he will die. This is, you see, one of the stumbling blocks of Christmas and Christianity. God is for his people. Wisely, righteously, for his people. Understand that? And the ninth thing about Christmas, it's a judgment thing. It is. Jesus is born to save sinners. But there's judgment that begins here. Soon he will say, when he's in his public ministry and John the Baptist is heralding the way, the axe is laid to the root of the tree of Israel. Judgment is beginning at the house of God, and that's something so important for us to remember as a church, as a people that confesses Christ. We would, to our peril, reject the Messiah that we hear. We would water down the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it potentially good news and not real good news. which say that this is truth, but you know what? There's lots of truth in other places, in other mangers, among other babes, and with Confucius and Buddha and Muhammad. We can all get to the same place. We would dare to say that? Shame on broad evangelicalism if this is what they make of the Christmas babe. He's the Holy God. Shame on us when, as a church, or shame on churches that would allow this babe to save and to say that he saves, and then to leave people to choose their own lifestyle. Jesus saves to make us holy and to draw us to God and not to our imaginary tolerance God. But finally this, we've said in our introduction that we wanted to explore the meaning of Christmas given 10 or so ways. See, children and families, if you can talk about those 10 ways around the dinner table. See if you can recall them. Give me a call if you can. But meaningful, we've said, that is the reality for everyone, for all time and space, and for eternity. But now I want to end with this. Christmas is all about meaning for us. This is not in the selfish point of view, and this is not to deny that it's meaning, meaning, meaning. It simply is. But the amazing thing about Christmas is Jesus is born for you and for me. And he makes this meaningful to us, even as he came into the world and the world could not resist him. By now, in the fullness of time, coming with the truth, the Savior from heaven now, exalted on high, coming with the truth of the incarnation and of the cross and of the resurrection, and speaking to us, and giving us new life. He's born, and there's a second birth, and a second birth for you and for me and for all of his people. And so this is what takes us into the manger. And so we're there, and so we love to be there. And we are God's. And life is never the same. Is that your life? Never the same. When you've been to Bethlehem, because God has been to you. A church is never the same. When God visits a church, revives them, and makes them to live the truth of the Christmas story. Oh. You see, long ago, the beginning of the end of the war, the end of enemy-occupied territory, Jesus is the planting of God's beachhead in enemy-occupied territory. The beginning of the taking of this world, the beginning of life. That's what Christmas is all about. And as we show the joy, and as we believe, and as we're never the same, and as we're full of the peace that he gives and of the presence of God, we go forward. And it's like the whole world is seeing here the incarnation in us. As we preach, as we love one another, as we gather together and we hear the meaning of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Take it and ponder it in your heart and live to the glory of God. Amen. Thanks, Lord, for speaking to us and directing us once again into the true meaning of Christmas. Thanks for your Holy Spirit, your holy truth, the power of the declaration of truth from on high, even from an earthly man and pulpit. Thanks for ears to hear. Give us, Lord, to continue on in the celebration. May this day yes, be about family and friends. And if we're alone, may it be about we considering the great gifts that you've given, always knowing what a great God and Savior and friend you are to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.